Well, I suspect most of us are aware of the proverb that the pen is mightier than the sword, which is where our sermon title comes from this morning, because we have, in our Hebrews reading, we hear about a sword that is able to cut through all kinds of things, something we should perhaps be concerned about or even afraid of. I've never been around a real sword, but I suspect in the hands of an expert, there's something that you'd want to, certainly want to pay attention to. And for someone to say that the pen is mightier than that comes across as, well, a bit counterintuitive until we realize that what that initial proverb is all about is that in the end of, when it comes right down to it, the ability to change people's minds to affect how they think is much more effective than simply forcing them to do things, as everybody who's ever had to manage people or has had children knows. You can force your children to do just about anything when you're bigger than them, in which case you'll end up with the outcome of the story of the child who was forced to sit down in church or wherever it was, who said, well, I'm standing on the inside. And that's what this pen being mightier than the sword is all about. And I'm not entirely sure why this sermon title struck me so strongly, and I hope it does have some kind of resonance to you, for you as well. Because as I was reading this over, this came back to me over and over again. I actually put it on the website, took it down, put something else, and then put it back up again, because I just realized that this was what I needed to talk about. What's even mightier than a pen, then? Anything? I mean, if we've got a hierarchy, we've got swords, does the whole end of all ways to influence people end with a pen? Well, no. But if the pen is mightier than the sword, what could possibly be mightier than a pen? Well, it's the Word of God. And when we look at this, and when we look at the first couple of verses in our Hebrews reading, where whoever wrote the book of Hebrews says, for the Word of God is living and active, like a, but even sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates, which we already know about, but it divides soul and spirit, which no human sword can. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Goes on to say, nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight, which is obviously connected to the whole, this whatever it is, it's sharper. Everything is uncovered and laid bare. Okay, that would be absolutely terrifying if that's where it stopped. But it isn't. Now, unfortunately, a number of translations, the New International Version is one of them that sticks a heading in there. It says, Jesus the Great High Priest, which is fine, because that's what the next little part's about. But the human eye interacts with our brains in ways that when we see spaces, we put spaces there that don't really belong. It should be a new paragraph. But this next paragraph is so connected to the last one through the use of the word therefore. Anytime you have therefore, it refers to something before. Therefore. Well, what's the therefore? The therefore is that, you know, we don't have to be terrified of the Word of God, living and active as it is, and how it can do all of these wondrous things, dividing this from that. We don't have to be afraid of it. But why? Because we have a high priest. Now, for us, in our context, a high priest is virtually meaningless other than as a label for a religious office. What does a high priest do? We don't have them anymore. We haven't had them for thousands of years. So what does a high priest do? Therefore, since we have a great high priest, what difference does that make? But what the high priest did was interceded for the people of Israel before God. The high priest is the one who, by the time of Christ, went into the Holy of Holies in the temple once a year to make absolution, to make sacrifice on behalf of the people, that they wouldn't be destroyed. The high priest was not just an intercessor in between God and sinful people, but also the mediator of God's grace back to those people. A high priest was critical. You had to have someone who could be between God and you, between this incredibly sharp, living word that lays everything bare, that exposes everything, good and bad. But the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, then gives us a number of things we can do. The writer of Hebrews, as I said, it's anonymous, we don't know who wrote it, but it's been named Hebrews because obviously it's written to such an original audience steeped in the traditions of the Hebrews, of the Hebrew faith, of Judaism. So using this high priest was a very powerful image there, and said, we have a high priest, not just like your regular high priest, but a high priest who has actually gone through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Our high priest isn't simply a human being charged to do this role once in a lifetime, but somebody who's always there. And when we see this, we see, well, what do we do then? And I've often found this paragraph very interesting for the very active things we're asked to do. On the basis of this great high priest, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. And this, all of these things are linked together. Okay, so we have a high priest, but on the basis of the thing, this living word, we need to pay attention to the fact we have an unusually great high priest. So let us hold firmly to the faith. For, which connects back again, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. And then we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. It's this linkage that begins with the terrifying possibility that everything we've ever done might be laid bare before a holy God, and in fact is, that we have this high priest. And it's a special high priest. It's more than any human high priest, which when we first think of it, perhaps might be just as bad. Well, if we have a high priest that is fully human and fully God, as Jesus was, what does that mean for us? Do we have any connection? Because we all know we're fully human, but we also know we're not fully God. Does this high priest have any sense of what it's like to be us? Because one of the things that the high priest did in the religious practices of Judaism was dealt with sin from an inside perspective, from knowing what it was. So what we're looking at here, what we're grappling with here, is this high priest any good for us, or is this high priest just going to look down on us? And the writer of Hebrews says, oh no, absolutely not. We have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Because our high priest was tempted in every way, just like we are now, but didn't sin. It's often been said, and I think it's true, that no human being has ever felt the ultimate weight of temptation. Because eventually we all give in. We don't all give in to the same thing. We don't all give in to the same thing even again. But eventually, every single one of us has given in to some temptation at some point. The only person who never gave in ever was Jesus. And when I think of some of the temptations that I have fended off, oh, I think of the temptation to start smoking again, which was absolutely horrible. Or the temptation of just proving to people that I'm right, because that's one of the things that's important to me, is that people know I'm right. A personality quirk, maybe even a personality flaw. And I think of how tempting that is, and how sometimes I've gotten away from the temptation just by running away. And I think, could it get worse than that? Yeah, I think it can. This high priest that we have has been tempted just like we have been, but never gave in. That's the amazing thing, that never gave in. We always give in. Everybody gives in. It's just a matter of to what and when. If we had a high priest who had never experienced temptation, how could they possibly intercede for us when we finally give in to temptation? What we have in the form of Jesus is someone who, when interceding for us before God, says, oh no, I know what that's like. That's really hard. And it's not an excuse. It's not saying that it doesn't matter. But it's saying that, yes, I know what that's like. I have been in your shoes. Maybe not with the exact same thing. Jesus was not tempted to misuse the internet. But Jesus was tempted to misuse his time, to misuse his thoughts, all of the same sorts of things that we face today. But he never gave in. He never said, I will do that thing. And that's what makes this high priest so amazing. Because one of the things that the Jewish religion had at that time was a very strong sense that the Holy of Holies, the closest you could get to God's presence, was for the high priest, and that just once a year. And once the high priest had done that, they never did it again. They felt that that was all a human being could do, I suppose. But what do we have? When we get to verse 16, this is where it all comes together. We begin with this sense that, yes, this living word that sees everything, that is kind of scary, is mediated in a way to us through a high priest and us back to God so that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, not with fear, not with terror, not with worry, but that we can approach with confidence so that we may receive not judgment, not punishment, but mercy, and find grace to help us in our time of need. The writer of Hebrews says that our relationship with God through Jesus brings with it, as it brings so many things that we don't necessarily think of at first, this high priest that opens the way for us, that we don't have to wait for a human high priest to go into the Holy of Holies once a year. We can approach God. We can approach the throne of grace whenever and wherever we need to. In the midst of temptation, in the midst of despair, in the midst of anything in the range of human experience, because Jesus opened the way. And when he opens the way, he comes with us as well. He doesn't just open the door and leave. He's there all the time. And he's there not just as a passive observer, but as someone with that deep empathy that makes all the difference in the world. When I'm having a crisis in my life, I'm not particularly interested in hearing somebody say, I have no idea what that must be like, but it must be terrible for you, so I hope it gets better. My crisis tends to be unique to me because I'm me and I'm unique. But when I'm having a crisis, someone says, I don't know what that's like for you, but when I went through this similar thing, I didn't know if I was going to survive, but I did. I survived through prayer, I survived through the help of friends, whatever it might be. That's the message that encourages me, that helps me continue on. When we lost our first baby, the people who said things that mattered were those who said, I don't know what this is like for you, but I know how incredibly painful and horrible that can be. And I made it through it. I don't really know how, but I did, and I know you can too. When Jesus comes alongside us, he doesn't say, this was easy for me. He says, this is what I did, just like you. Faced temptation and faced it down. And you gave in when I didn't, but that doesn't mean that I don't understand what you went through. Come with me and let's go to this throne of grace. And there we'll receive mercy. Jesus as high priest is an image that is hard for us to really embrace in our deepest being, because we just don't have the priest thing. But every time I spend any time with it, it gets a little bit richer for me. And I hope for you too, to remember that Jesus, fully human, just like us, while still being fully divine, went through all the things we go through, all the temptations. He understands us in a way that isn't just academic or theoretical. He understands us from the inside. And he's the one who takes us to this throne of grace. He's the one that helps us find mercy in what we need in our time of need. So what's even mightier than the pen? Jesus. And our relationship with him. Mightier than the pen, which is mightier than the sword, which pretty much covers everything when we look at that particular image. Jesus with us is all we need. The high priest, that image that we just grasp little pieces of, is all we need. Jesus went through it all, not so he could show off, not even, hard as this may be to believe, for some people at least, to give us an example that we can achieve, because we can't. He went through it so that he could understand us, and so that we would know we always have an advocate who understands, who cares, who loves, and who takes us along to the source of grace and mercy. And if that isn't mightier than a pen and a sword, I don't know what is. So let us remember this day and every day that we can approach God with confidence, knowing that Jesus is with us, that we might receive the grace and mercy that we all need. Amen. Let us pray.